it started in here.
Rachel, I had a dream that we've done this.
I used to listen to other morning shows, baby, but there was something missing. They were old, they were dull and boring, maybe I just couldn't listen. Then I found the best show around, Justice Drew and Samantha got my morning attention. And I'm gonna listen to Justice and Drew, show I listen to. I won't miss a beat. I'm just gonna keep it on Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you.
Can you dig it?
And the world's all right with me.
Can you dig it?
Just one look at you.
Mayor Buttigieg.
Buenas noches, gracias por invitarnos.
Gusto verlo, caballero.
Hold one moment.
Just trust us on this.
We're going to get to everybody, I promise. No, candidates, please.
I'm so sorry. We will let all of you speak.
Senator Gillibrand. Yes, so no, it's my turn. But I'll hold you to 30.
Look, the old way.
Was that directed to me?
Yes, that was your quote.
That sounded like me.
That's a mischaracterization of my thinking. Look, we have.
Once they, in fact, they should. Anyway, my time's up.
How would you do that? Sorry? How would you do that? Well, how do you respond?
Deal with these children?
I let me get to you in just a second.
I'm sorry.
You're the mayor, you should fire the chief if that's the policy and someone died.
If you think we're going to beat Donald Trump by just having all these plans, you got another thing coming. He's not going to be beaten just by somebody who has plans. It's really nice if we got all these plans, but not just a matter of a plan. John Kennedy did not say, I have a plan to get a man to the moon.
My first act in foreign policy, we're breaking up with Russia and making up with NATO.
One of my first phone calls would be to call the European leaders and say, we're back. My first call is to Prime Minister of New Zealand, who said that her goal is to make New Zealand the place where it's the best place in the world for a child to grow up. And I will tell her girlfriend, you are so on.
When I'm not changing diapers, I'm changing Washington. Most of the time, the diapers smell better.
Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a health care system in the United States. We have a sickness care system.
It's time to pass the torch to a new generation of Americans. Here's the solution. Pass the torch. Pass the torch to the generation.
I'm still holding on to that torch.
We're going to continue the questioning now with Lester in the audience. We are?
Lester?
We are in a Lester. Second Lester. Are going to have a question from Lester in the audience. But that was just a fake out.
And the world
man. Those candidates better be grateful that none of this is going to matter.
Okay,
by the time we get to like the caucuses and the early, they should be so, because last night was just a train wreck of epic proportions.
Well, I need a recording of, I want to make that my text tone, John.
Oh,
your
my
fake laugh.
Gosh. So, there was so much of it, too. There was a moment I was last night after the debate. Who are the main anchors on MSNBC, not the ones that were moderating, but
Brian Williams.
Brian Williams and then whoever the woman was, right?
Yeah, Rachel Maddow.
No, it wasn't Maddow. This was another woman.
Is that like a blonde lady?
Samantha something. No. I don't know.
But
not
she,
me.
They,
not,
at,
not you.
At one point, Brian Williams goes, okay, we're going to go to break. Chris Matthews is close to having Kamala Harris sit next to him. And the female host like let out this, oh, wow. Like it was so like oh like she was like oh what? Like
oh
like it
oh,
was a, like it was a gr- like it was this grab, you know, oh, what I mean, no. like they were able to go
like
and
she's
get this
an A-list celebrity,
right? It was, yeah. Oh wow. And oh, then they cut to break and I'm just like it was so
jeez. That was awful last night. That was really, it was so rough to watch. I watched probably 30, 40 minutes of it before I crashed, and I picked up some clips this morning. Man, just what a mess. Who are these people, and why do they think they should be president? I have no idea. Except the exception is, the only one that came across like they knew what they were doing, and they were there to win was Kamala Harris. That was the only one that I thought came in there with like a game plan and made good point. Not good as in I agree.
Sure, Gary.
Did a good job of making her points.
She was clearly listening to the show yesterday because she did what we said one of them needed to do. She was the most sort of Trumpian of all of them. You're right. She came in prepared. She's scary as all get out, but she was authentic and she was genuine. And she didn't hold back at all. I mean, she clearly was the standout last night among all of them. There are people up there I didn't even know.
I didn't recognize any of them. I was like, that's what Pete Buttigieg looks like.
Who the hell is Marianne Williamson?
I have no idea where she came from. She's a self-help author or something. Author. I have never
author.
Yeah. I have never seen or heard of that woman in my entire life.
I've heard of her before. I remember when she like announced that she was going to run, and I thought it was just a joke. But I had no idea she had qualified for this debate.
Me neither. I just want a fake laugh all morning long.
Well, you know, John, you guys, it is tough to sell books.
Selling books is hard. Yeah,
sometimes you got to run for president.
Apparently.
John, you should try that.
My gosh, man, I'm going about it the wrong way.
We got a lot of audio from last night's debacle to bring to you today. Plus, we've got the Friday Roundtable, Representative Nick Zerwas, comedian Corey Adam. Those two, plus the Buffalo Rodeo Queen herself, Samantha Sansevier, will be competing in the Friday News Quiz happening at 8:35.
Yeah, before all that, scouring?
Yes.
11:30 and 103.5 FM.
Hey, guys, you know what? America does not want to witness a food fight. They want to know how we're going to put food on their table. Yes.
News Talk. AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew, along with Sam. What is with that crowd? What a bunch of idiots.
I do not want them putting food on my table.
I don't want Kamala Harris putting food on my table.
I am responsible for putting my own food on my own table.
I am a strong, independent woman. I can put food on my own table, Kamala Harris.
This is, oh my God.
The fantasy world.
Don't force food on my table.
The alternate reality universe that these candidates live in, it's incredible. It really is. I mean, we've got stuff coming up in the five in regards to the economy. I've had a preview, which will play into this. But man, the pictures that they paint, and to what you were saying earlier, I will give Kamala Harris a little bit of credit because she did another thing that we said yesterday, and that was she pointed better than the other candidates. She pointed to the good economy, but then she also was able to craft a narrative that fit her ideologies off of it. She didn't dismiss the economy the same way the other candidates had been. She admitted that it was good and then spun it so it could benefit her, politically.
And she was the, I don't know if she was the only one, but she was the first one that I saw that really went after Biden and went after him based on the record of the Obama administration.
He was a deer in headlights too, man.
I know. Well, that's Biden. Isn't he always?
He's horrible. He's angry.
I think his instinctive reaction was, you look like you need a shoulder rub. Can I come over there and smell your hair?
Maybe. Just,
you're being hysterical.
You're just too tense, Kamala.
Smile more.
Maybe.
That'll work.
You should smile more often. Show those teeth.
Really smile.
I just hearing you guys say that makes me
cringe a little bit.
Just get a little punchy.
Sam, you have a pretty smile. You should show it more.
That might as well be Biden's slogan for president at this point.
Smile more.
Yeah, smile more.
I told
Biden when you smile.
I told Drew that Biden was so angry, and I'm taking it back. It's not that he's angry. He's intense.
He's very intense.
He's intense like on every level.
I don't know. He doesn't really seem...
He doesn't come off as likable. He comes off as somewhat angry.
Very condescending.
Very condescending. And then, you know, that intense part of it, though, it comes in because it comes in with all the touchy-feely. Because he's intense about that, too. His embraces and his rubs and his glares and his inappropriateness. It's all intense in the worst possible ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. He's a horrible candidate, Bryce.
More audio coming on that a little bit later, but now it's time to get into Sam's Top 5, powered by our friends over at Early Bird Electric.
Number 1.
Tulsi Gabbard was the most searched Democratic candidate after the debate, despite getting the third lowest speaking time. She took advantage of the time that she had.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I would say she, of the first night, she was absolutely one of the standouts, only because... she's not up there parroting the same things that all the other candidates are. She really comes at it from a very different place.
From Fox News, Representative Tulsi Gabbard, a relatively unknown, mired at the bottom of the crowded Democratic 2020 presidential field, was the most searched candidate on Google by the time last night's debate ended, making the Hawaii lawmaker and military veteran one of the night's biggest winners. Google Trends data showed prior to the debate, Gabbard was the most searched only in her home state, with Senator Elizabeth Warren dominating the country's internet browsers.
Can we get that? Can we get the searches for Minnesota, please?
Yeah, what are Minnesotans up to?
Yeah, well, I'd like to know. I'm laughing because Tulsi Gabbard is doing and did what I firmly believe Amy Klobuchar wanted to do. Right.
Yes.
She's right. Tulsi Gabbard, bottom of the polls, yep. Relatively, you know, unknown apart from her state, but she's been able to rise above it and grab attention because she's a much more she's likable by comparison, and way more accessible than, you know, binders full of Klobuchar.
And she's authentic, you know, and we talk about it all the time of how important authenticity is. And she is very authentic. She's not coming at this from some place of, well, here are the things that I need to say in order to get these people to vote for me. Yeah. She's saying what she's going to say and they're going to vote for her or not. And she, you know, at least that's the impression that I get from her. Amy Klobuchar has been doing this, has been playing this part of Amy Klobuchar for so long.
Yeah.
I don't know that she knows how to be authentic anymore. I don't know that she has it in her.
Yeah, she's typecast. This is who she is. She's not changing.
Gabbard became the most searched candidate on Google in most states, with Senator Cory Booker for some reason a distant second. I don't know why anybody's Googling him.
I think he stood out pretty decently at that first debate, I think. No? Okay.
I don't like him. Number two.
The queen has spoken. Search for Booker.
He's only good for memes. Don't like his face.
Okay. Yeah.
The Supreme Court has blocked the citizenship question on the 2020 census for now. From the Associated Press. The Supreme Court is forbidding President Donald Trump's administration from adding a citizenship question to the 2020 census for now. The court says that the Trump administration's explanation for wanting to add the question was more of a distraction than an explanation. It's unclear whether the administration would have time to provide a fuller account. Census forms are supposed to be printed beginning next week, and the court ruled 5-4 yesterday, with Chief Justice John Roberts joining the four liberals in the relevant part of the outcome. A lower court found the administration violated federal law in the way that it tried to add a question broadly asking about citizenship for the first time since 1950. The Census Bureau's own experts have predicted that millions of Hispanics and immigrants would go uncounted if the census asked everyone if he or she is an American citizen.
Yeah, we're going to talk with our lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. He'll be calling in right around 7:20 this morning, and we'll get into this ruling. There were a couple of other rulings, an interesting one that didn't get a lot of attention over the ability that the police officers have to blood draws of an unconscious person or not when you are, you know, part of a traffic stop, or you come across a law enforcement officer in your car and you're drunk. Now, this citizenship question, I know it's a battle and a battle that needs to be waged and finished. I don't know how much of a difference the whole thing makes.
Oh, I don't think it makes much of a difference at all.
You know, I think
there's politics and there's political gamesmanship in both the adding of the question and in the opposition to the question. Although I do think it's a fair and valid question to ask.
Sure, I do too.
I mean, what is the census? The census is gathering data. The census is getting some understanding of who's here, you know, what demographics they fit into, what age groups they fit in. You know, I mean, it's important data to have, and I don't understand why knowing how many people here are citizens and how many aren't is any less important than any of the other data that is gathered during the census.
Why are we bothering with the census? Why don't we just go to the NSA? They got all the information anyway, right?
Exactly. You know? Why don't we just go to Facebook?
I was thinking that as well. Yeah. Seriously.
We will continue with Sam's Top 5.
0.5 FM.
Friday Roundtable will be joining us in about 30 minutes or so from now. Representative Nick Zerwas, comedian Corey Adam. We will play the Friday News Quiz in 2 hours from now. And at that point, Rodeo Queen Sam Sansevier will be joining in the fray. And we want you to predict who you think is going to win. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter, Nick, Corey, or Sam. Pick who you're going to win, and there will be fabulous prizes awaiting those who make the correct prediction.
We actually do have really fabulous prizes. We've got a pair.
Did you think I was lying?
We always do. We always do. But especially today.
But actually.
Wow. You should smile more, Drew. You really should try that sometime. I just really feel like you don't smile enough.
Am I pretty when I smile?
No, we've got. Ooh. I mean, you're prettier.
We're gonna fight today.
You're prettier. We've got a pair of tickets to the Vikings training camp to give away to whoever wins the prize. But I don't have any other details in front of me about that. I don't know what it is. There you go.
But we have them. Before we dive into back into Sam's top five, and we'll get to more debate stuff later on, I do want to bring something up because this thought just popped into my head. First off, it was really in retrospect, that debate was incredibly unfair to the Night One people because the tone and tenor last night was very, very different. And was a lot more entertaining doing that thing with my fingers, regardless of you know where you fall politically. But I really do think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they already had one night under their belt, and those other candidates were able to observe what happened on night one. The other thing I want to mention real quick, just a quick theory, and then we'll get to Sam's top five. The biggest applause, at least that we heard, in that montage from last night's from the night before's debate was when they talked about the biggest geopolitical threat. Mm-hmm. And I don't know which Yahoo said it, but said Trump. And everyone was like, woo! Right, everybody yelled. And then there was Kamala Harris in this one, right?
Hey, guys, you know what? America does not want to witness a food fight. They want to know how we're going to put food on their table.
Okay. Here's my theory. I thought about it during the break. I don't know how much they're cheering. I don't know how much the strength of the cheering actually has to do with what, in that case, Kamala Harris was proposing, or even a belief the night prior that Trump was the most, there was the biggest geopolitical threat. I think that cheering is more just Orange Man bad. Like, it doesn't matter really what Kamala Harris said, but pushing a way to sort of push back. I don't know. I get that feeling that those applause lines are way more directed at, yeah, we're going to get them, more than it is, yeah, you're going to give me food.
I think that would be true most of the time. That line specifically, I wonder. I hope so, because I would rather believe that than believe that you've got an audience full of people that are looking up on that stage and thinking, which one of you is going to put food on my table the best?
Right.
Because that's just pathetic. That is pathetic. If you've got a constituency of voters out there that are really looking at presidential candidates and holding them responsible for putting food on their table, then I give up. I mean, I just throw up my hands. What do you do with that?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, and I'm sure that those obviously applause lines that get big ones could be getting big, big rounds of applause for an abundance of reasons. But in this format and the time that we're in, I'd be interested if anybody were to go and sort of compile what lines drew the biggest applause, and then see if there was some correlation to because it was very aimed at sort of anti-Trump orange man bad.
That's actually a good exercise, and I will look into that because
because after vacation.
Yeah, right. I started to say I'm going to look into it, and then I realized I'm going on vacation. Yeah,
you're not doing anything of this such anymore. That's why I said somebody else should do it.
Stupid thing for me to
say. I could have said I was going to do it, but I'm not going to do it. So I said I would be interested if somebody else did. Yeah, if somebody else did it.
No. Yeah,
not me or you.
No. I'm no.
Not even Sam.
I got other things to do.
I'm going on vacation too. Yeah.
Those other things are nothing.
Let that boring. Let the boring stations go and put them together. And we'll just take their info.
Politicians are relatively simple creatures in a lot of ways, and like anything else, they're going to respond to positive reinforcement. So yes, I guarantee you that all of the staffs of these candidates are watching back these debates and paying attention not only to what the audience responded to, but what popped on Twitter, what caused things to go trending on Twitter, what did people react to on social media, and that's what they're honing in on. Of okay, this clicked, this worked, this got a reaction, this got a response, we're gonna do more of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, if that put food on your table line ends up, ranking as one of the top moments, top reactions, then other candidates are going to be like, well, I guess I got to put food on people's table now.
Some of the people are going to be like running on food stuff.
Yeah, the presidential campaign is now just a big food bank.
You want free chicken nuggets? Okay.
Let's jump right back into Sam's top five for a Friday.
Number 3.
The U.S. economy grew at a solid 3.1% rate in the first quarter.
But they said
Orange Man bad.
But they said it would never, it was going to be stuck at 2 or 1.5 or whatever it was when Obama, they said it would never grow that big again. That's what we were all told. Mm-hmm.
From the Canadian press. The
Wait,
U.S.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why?
Canadians really care about us.
Is it right there?
It's right up there.
It's right up there.
It's our hat.
No U.S. outlets write a story
on
this?
I can see
the U.S. outlets are too busy focusing on stupid stuff.
U.S. outlets never write a story about how the Canadian economy's doing.
That's because nobody cares.
Do they even have one?
I don't even know. Okay. I don't think so. The U.S. economy grew at a healthy 3.1% rate in the first 3 months of this year, but signs are mounting that growth has been slowed sharply in the current quarter amid slower global growth and a confidence-shaking trade battle between the United States and China. The Commerce Department reports that the gain in the gross domestic product, the broadest measure of the economic health, was unchanged from a month ago. However, the components of growth shifted slightly, with stronger business investment and consumer spending slowing more than previously estimated. Economists believe growth has slowed sharply in the current April to June quarter to around 2%. They expect similar meager gains for the rest of the year, a forecast that runs counter to the Trump administration's expectations for a strong growth above 3%.
Yeah, every single piece that was put out about the U.S. economy growing to a solid 3.1%, every single one of them had some line in there talking about, but, it's just all downhill from here. And I'm convinced that the only reason why was because of the Trump administration forecasting that this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And all those media outlets just going, well, but Orange Man, he's still bad and all.
Right. Yeah, but the bottom line is that the economy does continue to grow and it does continue to do better. And sure, the growth might have slowed down a bit, but it's still growth and it's still positive. And a good economy doesn't discriminate. Everybody in this country benefits when the economy continues to do well.
Number 4.
St. Louis Park City Council removed the Pledge of Allegiance from its meetings, and then less than 24 hours it planned to revisit that decision. So we'll get into details on both. Two separate stories. From Fox 9, Counselors and even the mayor of St. Louis Park were tight-lipped about their decision to take the Pledge of Allegiance out of its council meetings, and support for the decision is hard to find on the streets. Wednesday was one of the last times the St. Louis Park City Council will say the Pledge of Allegiance ahead of its meetings outside of special occasions. The change, sponsored by Councilor Ann Mavity, takes effect on July 15th. She reportedly said about half of the cities in Minnesota don't require the pledge to be said at council meetings. The vote was 5-0 with Mayor Jake Spano and Councilor Tom Miller absent. While Mavity wouldn't return Fox 9's request for comment, the councilor...
Oh, coward.
What a chicken. The council cited a desire to accommodate the city's increasingly diverse population.
You accommodate it by not, you know, not making it mandatory, but getting rid of it altogether. It's not even so much the fact that they're... that they're not going to do it. Like, if a city council never opened up their meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, I don't think I would ever notice.
Right.
Right. Or if, yeah, they started and then stopped with no announcement, I don't know that I would ever notice. But to actually have a vote on it and have it pass unanimously and use rationale like, we don't want to intimidate our residents, that just pisses me off.
You don't want to be scary.
Yeah, one of the council members, Bronson or Branson, I don't care because he's an idiot. He was talking about, well, we really do hope that this isn't going to be too controversial, and I don't understand why it would be. It's like, how you guys got elected? You know, how did you string enough sentences together to convince individuals to go and to vote for you? And to what you were saying, this idea we're a diverse community and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, then the way that you handle that is if somebody goes to a St. Louis Park City Council meeting and decides not to stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance, you don't make a big stink about it. You just go, all right, cool, man, you don't have to, whatever you want to do.
Right, exactly. You know, have the pledge, and if you don't feel like doing the pledge, don't do the pledge. Nobody's going to make you, nobody's going to force you, and you're not going to get in any trouble if you don't. But to say it's intimidating is basically saying that, you know, taking 40 seconds out of your life to pay respect to this country is problematic. And that just really irritates me. Elected officials, members of people that run our government, are saying that our country is bad and intimidating.
Well, 24 hours after the St. Louis Park City Council said that it's that our country is bad and intimidating, they're now planning to revisit their decision entirely.
Idiots.
The council is planning to look back on their decision, quote, after hearing many comments from the community since the ordinance passed.
Yeah, I bet they did.
That change, as I said, was set to go in effect on July 15th, but the council plans to discuss the topic at a study session on July 8th at 6:30 p.m.
I St. Louis Park is a nice place. We work in it. We're in it right now. Sure. It's fantastic. I mean, but are things that good that they even have to bother with?
Right, that they're focusing on this at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. What, like, they have nothing better to focus on?
I am fine with city councils if they only convene when they absolutely have to convene. Like, when a matter comes up, if you guys want to email amongst each other, and when there's an issue that comes up, hey, we're calling a meeting and let everybody know, then by all means do it. Because they have these meetings and just come up with crap to debate.
I would agree with that. I would also throw in maybe like once a month, once every 6 weeks or so. You know, you have just a public thing where it's okay, we're all going to be here. Just an open session where anybody can get up there and, you know.
Right.
I'd like to address the council, please. Regarding that July 15th meeting, I got an email last night from More Vets, the Minnesota Organization of Republican Veterans. And they are going to try to bring as many American flags and as many people as possible to the next St. Louis Park City Council meeting on July 15th.
I laughed with the beginning part of the story of the first version when they voted to remove it. Where it was one of the last times, right, the St. Louis Park City Council would say the Pledge of Allegiance ahead of its meetings outside of special occasions. So the logic here is we're not going to do it anymore, except when we're going to highlight it and make it super duper special.
Yeah.
And bring an immense focus to it on whatever we determine is, what, 4th of July, if they happen, but they're not going to be in...
No.
You know?
No. If it's a special occasion, government's closed.
Right. I don't... It's so... Except for special occasions. So we're going to take it... Right now, it's mundane. Nobody even really thinks about it. It really is an afterthought, but it's part of the procedure, right? And it's something that they've done forever, so it should stay. But instead, they've gone, drawn all this attention to it, and then we're intending to go and highlight it on special occasions and make a big deal about it.
Number five.
Liberals are dumb.
Bede Mikaska is dumb. This is still a story. While the future of the name Bede Mikaska is still up in the air, the surrounding neighborhoods of the state's most famous lakes are considering making some changes as well. Yay. Now this will be a story forever.
This was totally to be expected. This is what snowballs out of the decision to change the lake, especially a lake that has so many things around it that share the same name. Streets, apartment buildings, business complexes, all this stuff.
You're totally, totally right. From Fox 9, the West Calhoun neighborhood is looking at possibly changing its name to reflect the lake's new name. Barry Hastings, a West Calhoun neighborhood resident, said, I think people understand it as one thing, but I understand things have to change. On the west side of Bede Mikaska, the lake's recent name change is still making waves.
That's what they did there.
Someone on the West Calhoun Neighborhood Council said, if it makes people like the neighborhood better or makes people feel better about the neighborhood, I think it would be okay. After the Minneapolis Parkour. If it makes people's feelings better, then let's do it. After the Minneapolis Park Board changed the name of Lake Calhoun, the West Calhoun Neighborhood Council sent out a survey asking residents if they were interested in renaming their neighborhood as well. Just over half of those who responded, and I'm sure that the total amount of people who actually responded was very small, they said they wanted to keep the same name while the rest were evenly split between Lake Bede Mikaska and West Lake after the light rail transit station that is scheduled to go in. Lynette Davis, a West Calhoun neighborhood of the West Calhoun Neighborhood Council, said, we want to make the effort to reach out to the whole neighborhoods. So we're doing what most people want to do rather than just a few. But whether the neighborhood decides on a new name or not, then the ripple effects of the lake's name, get it? Lakes, ripples. That change is going to continue to be felt. Hastings went on to say, it's a hard balance to strike. I don't know what the answer is. The neighborhood council is planning a neighborhood meeting next month where it will try to get more responses to the survey, but there is no timeline on when it will make a decision. So we probably are going to be stuck with seeing Bede Mikaska in our headlines even longer.
It's relevant, not directly related. However, I got a buddy of mine, right, whose name is Tristan Calhoun, and he's got a bat on both ends.
Oh, no.
One, he's a boy. It's got a girl's first name, and he's got a horribly racist last name. he's looking to change it.
What's his first name?
Tristan.
Tristan?
Yeah.
That's not it. Did you say that's a girl's name?
Yeah, I dated a girl, Tristan, once. I guess it could be. I guess it's unisex. It's a unisex name. Yeah.
That's like you That's like you looking at me and being like, your name is a boy name. Which it kind of is.
Yeah, it's Sam. Yeah, it's just like that, Sam. Just like that. That's the type of content you get from the Buffalo Rodeo.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm taking your title. I just want you to know. I'm taking
Fight
your
me.
Title.
Come
Excellent
at me, bro.
Job, Sam. Thank you for sponsoring Sam's Top 5 to Early Bird Electric as well.
Do you have to go by Samantha in official capacity as the Buffalo Rodeo Queen?
No.
Okay.
Does anybody call you Khaleesi?
No, but maybe I will demand that.
We have the round table joining us in studio in just a few minutes. We will get to a bunch of audio from last night's debate number two with the Democrats. Also, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien will be on at 7:20 talking about the Supreme Court ruling.